You may be seated this morning. And I'd like to invite you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 again, on verse 14. And actually, we're going to be reading verse 14 through 19 this morning. Strengthened by the love of God. That's going to be the topic this morning, the title of my message. Strengthened by the love of God. I don't know about you, but I need the love of God on a daily basis in my life. And it's an area of my life where I struggle to understand the love of God, to feel the love of God. I know that the Word of God says He loves us. I know that God loves people. But very often in my own life, I struggle to experience that love. In my struggles, when I fail, when I feel awkward, inadequate, when I see that I'm not doing what He's calling me to do. And this is a beautiful passage this morning where Paul is, he takes us back to the love of God. Although he's been teaching us and telling us about the mystery and the things that we have in Christ and the revelation of the gospel to us. In fact, a few weeks ago, Pastor Doug was talking about the mystery of the gospel revealed to us, his people. And as we look into that, we saw that not only the mystery of the gospel was revealed to the church, but God is expecting us as a church to make known that mystery to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So we are the vehicle. We are the way in which God shares that mystery to other people and also to the heavenly places, to the authorities and rulers in the heavenly places. So this is something powerful that we've been just learning about the mystery of the gospel. And then in verse 14, Paul says, for this reason, for the reason of the mystery, for the reason of sharing the gospel and bringing this mystery to everyone, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So as we sign verse 14, Paul, for that reason, is bowing his knees before the Father. So he's praying for the Ephesians, for the church in Ephesians. And as he's addressing them, he explains the reasons that he prays for them. And you can see that according to the riches, that Christ might dwell in your heart, that you being rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He states those reasons why he's praying for the church. Now, when I look at the passage, two things really stuck up to me. It is the strength that God wants us to have, and it is the love that we receive through God. And what I want you to think about this morning, because this is what the Word of God is saying, the love of God strengthens us. It gives us the power to be strong and to accomplish His will, His purpose in our life. And so Paul is saying, I'm praying for this. And look at this. As he's praying, he considers it to be necessary that he describes to the Ephesians how he bows his knees before his Father. We're just going to touch on this a little bit. But think about this. Paul is saying, I'm praying for you. And the way I do it is, I bow down before the Father. I bow down my knees before the Father. And, you know, it's amazing to see this picture of reverence and submission before the Lord. And we also see a level of intensity in his heart for the well-being of the church in Ephesus. And this really, it's a time for us to stop and to wonder, when are the times in our lives when we bow down our knees before the Father and passionately pray to God and seek His face for something that we need? This is powerful. We pray all the time. We are called to pray without ceasing. Every moment we pray when we're driving, when we're walking, and we better keep our eyes open when we're driving, right? And when we're walking and when we're doing other things, when we're eating, when we're spending time, and we are praying, we are mindful of the Lord, and just in our hearts, we ought to be bringing everything to Him. But think about this. There's a time, a moment, When we need to stop and we need to say, God, I need your blessing in this area of my life. This is an important subject. And I'm sure Paul was busy, as we are in our time. I'm sure he was going about life and doing things and writing letters and doing all kinds of stuff. There was a time for him to stop, to bow down before the Lord and to shut everything around himself and say, Lord, bless these people in Ephesus. Because this is something powerful that they will not understand by me writing or preaching to them. The only way for them to receive the strength and the love that you have for them is in the spiritual way. And therefore, I'm going to pray. This is just an opportunity for us to see this. There are some things that require all of our attention. 100% of it. So then we see in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Every family is named by God the Father. And we are the family of Christ. Think about it. He called us to be here this morning. He called us to be part of His family. It doesn't matter where you grew up, who you born from, you are part of the family of God. And even in the family where you grew up, where you born, that's where God placed you. God is sovereign. Then we read verse 16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. So the first request of Paul to the Lord is for strength in the Ephesians. And when he says this, as God is strengthening us, he does it according to the riches of his glory. That's the first idea that we get here in this verse. According to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. So we look at this, and the strength of God comes directly from the wealth of God. That's something powerful. It comes from the wealth of God. It's not coming from the way we believe, our faith. Okay? It's coming from the wealth of God. God is not going to bless us or strengthen us according to what we pray for or trust for. No. He's going to do it according to His wealth. And in fact, when you look at verse 20 here in this passage, God is able to do more than we ask. He's able to do more than we think about. We're going to let this verse for the future, for Pastor Doug, he will spend a couple of hours over there. But you know, think about this. God is powerful. He is powerful, and His wealth, His riches is just abundant. And when I think of this, the pressure goes off, and I don't have to know everything. I don't have to ask for everything. I don't have to have the faith for everything. God is strengthening me according to His riches, and that's amazing. That is powerful. If we identify and experience the riches of His glory, we see that this is what real wealth looks like. His glory. His riches. That word, glory, comes from the Hebrew root, weight. And there's weight in the glory of God. There's nothing with the same weight in the whole universe as the glory of God. And when we say this commentator or this idea has more weight than this other idea, we're saying there's more power, there's more credibility, there's more belief in this idea than the other idea. So think about this. The glory of God is the heaviest thing there is in the universe. His power. And that's where the riches are coming from. And we think of this, and how much have we experienced from the riches of God's glory in our own life? Think about this. It's available for us as Christians. He gave it all. You look at Peter and Peter says, everything that pertains to life and godliness is being given to us through Jesus Christ. We need to trust in it. We need to make it our own. And Paul right here is praying that we'd be strengthened according to that. And really, there's one thing right here we need to ask. What defines our blessings? Is it the wealth of this world? Finances, the economy. What we have attained to amount in our own lives, the house we own, the car we drive, the bank account we have. Is that what defines our blessing? The blessing of the believer? Because there are some out there that seem to think that for the Christian, prosperity is the top of the riches. You got to be rich. You got to claim it. You got to have it. But right here, Paul is talking to us about something deeper. And this will strengthen us. This will strengthen us. So when we say we are successful, are we measuring our success according to the wealth of God? Because for the most part, in our world where we live, We are influenced to constantly measure our accomplishments according to the riches of this world. Money, education, position, experiences that we have, who traveled the most, who's been the farthest, the longest. And think about this. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you got. In fact, for Christians in Africa, in the poorest places of the world, they are rich. They have access to this rich wealth of God. So then we look here, the next part in these verses, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So God is the one who gives us the ability to be to obtain something from Him. He grants us the strength, the power. And He does it in our spirit being. So James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So we realize that everything we have, materially, spiritually, comes from the Lord. God is the one who provides everything. It says, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is the provider. He is our provider. And certainly we live in a blessed place. Financially. In many ways. I mean, 95% of the population in the world will not experience what we experience here in this nation. And this is a blessing from God. But see, we need to focus in the spiritual riches and in the things that God wants us to have. And as we do, we realize that the things that we have in this world and the things that God wants to give us spiritually, they all come from God. So the way in which we receive His strength, as we go into this, is through His Spirit. And it takes place in our inner being. So I think of this and I look at Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Think about this. God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this gives us an idea of God's love being given to us. Not in a measure way. God's pouring this love into our hearts, into our lives. He's blessing us abundantly. So then we also look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. When we talk about the inner being, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So God knows that we need this strength. He will grant it to us. And really the only way to do it is with power through His Spirit. So the Spirit pours His love on us, but then it's placed in our inner being. And we see this verse that our outer self is wasting away. You know, when we are young, we don't believe that. We don't want to think that. We don't want to look into that, right? We are strong. We have it all. We don't need to think of that. But you know, when you are, I see some of you guys going into a different stage of your life and you're experiencing pain, fatigue. You don't retain as well as you used to, maybe. I have that problem myself. I'm 35 years old. And, you know, you look at the future and you think, boy, what's going on with my body? You know, I'm tired. I'm not as good as I used to be working hard. I don't have the same performance. And that's normal, you know. The outer self is wasting away. But think about this. The inner self is being renewed day by day. And that gives us hope. And I think it's so powerful, because as we're experiencing this, this is a great opportunity for us to rely in our inner strength, right? And to quit trusting in our own flesh and in our own strength and to say, God, I can't, but You are able to do it through me. And you know, when you are young, I mean, we think we can do it all. You know, there's nothing difficult for me, right? We place ourselves in the place of God. But then when we face challenges and when we grow up, we understand that most of the things we think we can do can go wrong, right? In our own strength, they could go wrong. So we have to rely on the Lord. And that's the reason why God needs to bless us in our inner self. And, you know, God does it day by day. He's renewing us. He's giving us the strength. And so in the midst of a culture that excessively focuses on the outer appearance, think about the millions and millions of dollars that are spent every day in the world. But, you know, I mean, think about America, on the outer appearance of people, you know, how you should look, cosmetically, and you know, the money that people spend to go to the gym and have a better figure. And some of these things, you know, are vanity. They fade away with years. You work hard to avoid looking old and wrinkly. Let me tell you, you are going to be old and wrinkly no matter what. Isn't that the truth? But you know, Paul is saying, let's think about this. The inner self needs to be strengthened. Because when we face difficulties and challenges in our lives, you know, my face, my beauty, that doesn't count much. I need to be strong in the Lord. I need to be strong in the Lord. So we are brought here by Paul and through the Word of God. And, you know, I mean, one thing I want to just bring up. How amazing it is to know people that are older than us, you know, and to have friends that are older than us. And one thing that I see with them is they will always take you back to the important things of life. You know, as young guys, you know, we focus so much on the things that we see. But, you know, the friends that I have that are older than me, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, they're always reminding me, tell your kids you love them. Did you spend time with your family this week? Are you really calling your parents? Because they know that when they get to the end of life, the most important things are relationships, you know. And also, they will mind you, they will tell you, they will remind you about that relationship you have with God. And sometimes as young guys, we have this challenge that the thing we want to talk about is the last thing on Facebook or in YouTube, you know, or that is going or the trending on internet or the skiing or the snowmobiling or the hunting, the things that are so superficial. But what a blessing to get along with somebody that once in a while is going to just pull us down and tell us, hey, have you spent time with your family this week? Because that's more important than anything else. And you know, this is just a reminder of, let's get to the things that matter. And these are in the inner being, in the heart. Because think about this, when you experience challenges, the things that are from the superficial area of your life, they're not going to help you much. It's really the heart of the man that will overcome sin, temptations, and will go for the things that God has called him to do. So that's a blessing for us. Let's look here in verse 17. So that Christ, the second dot that we see, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So as we are strengthened, we see this, that Paul is saying, we get to be strengthened by Jesus Christ himself because he dwells in our hearts through faith. So this is something powerful. Christ wants to dwell in us. How many of you know that? Sometimes we feel like, God, live in me. Fill me anew with your presence. And we feel like we have to chase Christ to live in us. No, no. He wants to live in us. We have the aroma of God, right? Wherever we go, we are representing God. He lives in us and he's strengthening us himself. So, you know, think about this. We are God's desire as his people. We read it in chapter 1 of Ephesians. We are his inheritance. He is ours. So there's a relationship with Christ that cannot be separated. So we need him to live within us as we go on in our life. And wherever we go, Christ is in us. Then we get to the second part of verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and then verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And then I always wonder why he didn't finish the thought, but instead he goes, and to know the love of Christ. You know, I don't know if you experience that when you read those verses. He's like, okay, I missed it. I got to go back to the beginning again of the paragraph because I missed the whole thing. And this is Paul. You know, Paul starts a phrase, a scripture, a prayer, and he goes on and on about the details that then it takes him a while to really finish the session. But he's really talking about love. You see this in the scripture. In the scriptures, in many places, there's a parenthesis of something, the explanation of that, and usually you will find a parenthesis on the end, finishing the thought. So as we read in the half of verse 17, and remember, in the beginning, the Bible didn't have verses. So when you look in the middle of verse 17, you see that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's the introduction of this love. And I think he's really telling us that if we are going to be strengthened in Christ is going to be through love. Okay? So then, rooted and grounded in love, you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So he's talking about love. So the second request of Paul is for the love of God in the church of the Ephesians. And, you know, we can go on and on and on about the love of God. I mean, there are so many scriptures about love in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. And we need to live, to dwell, to experience, to act in love. But in order for us to do that, we have to receive the love of God. And we struggle. I don't know about you, but I struggle in my own life with love, with understanding the love of God for me, because I fail all the time, because I struggle all the time, because life beats us up and we get into areas where we can't do it and we feel weak, and then the enemy is attacking us so often and telling us you're not good, God really didn't call you for anything, you have no purpose in your life, you're making mistakes all the time. And it's often, as Pastor Doug was sharing about a spiritual battle, it's often there in the accusation of the enemy where we fell down and we start believing sometimes the enemy. And although God did all this for us, we're not trusting in it, in the love of God. So the first thing, the first thought that comes with this verse that we're reading, the end of 17, beginning of 18, is the thought of love of God. And this means we need to be rooted and grounded in this love of God. Two things. Rooted. Think about a tree. About weeds, about something that grows from the ground. And you know, the roots go deep. And the deeper the roots, the stronger that tree is going to be. In the times of drought, in the times of winds, of storms, that tree is going to be rooted. It's going to be established right there. Nothing is going to take it out. And you know, it's amazing. The wind may just put that tree to the ground, as we see the palm trees. But then, when the wind ceases and when the storm ceases, that tree is going to rise up again. And think, we need to be rooted. Where? In the love of Christ. Strengthened by the love of Christ. And then we see the other thing is grounded. That gives us an idea of building something. Grounded in the ground. And you see a building, what the strength of the building is not on the outer appearance. But think about this, in the foundation of it. Right? We see these big buildings, these big houses, and the first thing we see is a mess. Trees all over the place. Big piles of dirt. And what are they doing? They're digging a hole. They're putting the foundation of it. And think about this. Our foundation is in the love of God. We need to be rooted and grounded in that love of God. So it's okay to be grounded in doctrine. We are called to do that. In service and in knowledge. But to be grounded in God's love is the strength that will give us stability and confidence as Christians. You see these people, you know, sometimes, that they never get offended, you know. And you can tell anything to them, people push them, people. And you know, mature Christians, they are defined by the way they love. And when you really want to get to the root of it, of their love, and how come they never struggle with offenses or they are able to forgive other people, is because they have experienced the love of God themselves in a vast way. And you know, when you look at Christians that get offended all the time, that are so sensitive about everything, and I mean, you're really washing yourself around them, it has to do a lot with the relationship they have with Jesus Christ. So this is something powerful. The second thought here, as we read in verse 19, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and we're going to stop there, is that we need to experience God's love with strength. And that word is perfectly able in the Greek. Actually, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament, that word strength. It's not the same word that we read in the previous verses. And it means perfectly able. So we need to experience God's love in a perfect way to comprehend the vast dimension of it. The vast dimension of it is love with all the saints. So when we grasp this love, and Paul goes into this idea of the height, the depth, how wide it is, we need to think about this, and this is just an idea. Wide enough to the love of God is wide enough to embrace all mankind. Everyone out there. Doesn't matter who they are, where they are from. And the love of God is long enough to last for eternity. What an amazing thing. The love of God is eternal. I think of this Psalm, Psalm 138. And it's a powerful verse that, you know, as we think about the love of God and the purpose that He's given us, this is a powerful verse. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Think about this. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Why? Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. So this gives us an idea. The work that He's begun on us, same as the New Testament says, He will fulfill. He will fulfill. He will finish it. So when God picks us up and He redeems us, and He chose us to be His, that love was there. And as we go into growing in the Lord and we keep failing and making mistakes, God does not give up on us. Aren't you glad? Everybody will give up on you eventually, you know. But when you look at the Lord, His love endures forever. Forever. And you know, so many times we feel condemnation in our lives. We feel pain in our lives. We feel rejected by people sometimes when we sin. We feel rejected even by God because we are starting to believe that God is rejecting us or maybe the enemy is attacking us. But God will not reject you. This is an amazing picture of God embracing you even when you're struggling. You know, Pastor Doug says this over and over, I think. Sometimes when we sin, we feel like we need to go to the corner. Like we can't go to church. We can't go to the prayer place to seek the Lord. And that's our nature. That's our definition of love. But in God, in the midst of the troubles and the problems and the difficulties and your failures, you can go back to God and say, God, look at me. I'm a mess. What do I do? And for me, this is difficult. This is a struggle to understand. But God is there. He's holding you up. He's holding you up. And I think about this, you know, in the moments when I'm really struggling. And, you know, a few weeks ago and a few months ago, I was just going through difficulties in my personal walk with God. Just, and that happens once in a while for a day or two when you really start questioning what you're doing. And am I in the right place? And God, is this your will? And I just remember, you know, I need to go to prayer. I need to go to prayer with the Lord. Now, so I went to pray with God and I kneeled down and start asking God. And I kept just praying to God, asking for His presence and wanting His presence to fill my heart. All of a sudden, I asked this question. I said, God, do you love me, God? And you know, there's a moment when God tells you that through the power of His Holy Spirit. And you may not know what the will of God is. You may not know the answer to your need at that moment. But when God loves you, that's security right there. You don't need to know anymore, you know. I see the life of Job, you know, and Job was a man who worshipped God, he had integrity, he had everything, and the enemy was accusing him before God. And God says, haven't you seen my servant Job? And the enemy, you know, he brings this to the Lord and says, how can he not worship you when you've blessed him so much? But unbeknown to him, he doesn't know this. Think about this. God does the unthinkable. Pain and sickness. And he lost everything. And all of a sudden he's in the midst of suffering. And nobody's able to tell Job what's going on. He's suffering, but he's still hanging on to integrity and righteousness and worshiping the Lord. And he goes through all this confusion and he, at times fear. And he's really wondering what's taking place. And when God comes to him on the end of the book of Job, this for me is amazing because God does not answer to Job all the questions he had, right? He starts just going on and on and on about His greatness and His power and all the things that He did. And really what I see is Job had a revelation of the love of God. God is saying, if I care for all the creation and all the things that I did, how much more will I care for you, Job? For you, Job. And all of a sudden, you know, without answering, Job says, Lord, I've heard of you before, but now my eyes are seeing you. And he humbles down to the Lord and he had a revelation. I think he had a revelation of the love of God so powerful that now he sees the long picture. And this is amazing. God restored Job and Job loved the Lord, you know. But God never explained to Job what was going on. And sometimes more than answers, we need the love of God in our lives, right? More than explanations of things, we need the love of God in our lives. That's the security of the Christian. And I don't know where you are in your own life, you know, where you're struggling with. I mean, we have so much. We have so much challenges as Christians and in the place where we live. You need the love of God in your personal walk. Knowledge is not going to cut it. It's not. Knowing the Bible just by knowing it, it's not going to do it. People know the Bible and some of them are not even saved. Look at the scribes and Pharisees. They knew it. But they didn't know about Jesus Christ. And they couldn't experience the love of Him because they couldn't have that relationship with God. And you see a baby Christian who just comes to the Lord and on the first week, first month of his life, he's in that first love that Revelation explains. And they are in fire, on fire. They are passionate for God. They are free. And they don't know much doctrine, but they know God and the love of God. So another idea is here on this, high enough to take us to heaven. The love of God is high enough to take us to heaven and deep enough to reach the most despicable sinner. I think for me, and you know this, I've been a Christian for 20 years, 21 years, and I think a moment when really there was a better understanding of God's love was one day I was reading John 15, verse 9, and I was just preparing myself for a Bible study or something, and as I went through the chapter, I got to this verse. And look at the verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And when I start thinking of this verse, you know, I start thinking about the love of Jesus to my life. And think about this. Jesus was perfect. He was God, the Son of God, the unique Son of God. Jesus was obedient to the Father in every area of His life. Perfect communion all the time. And you see it from the beginning of His ministry too, when He comes out of the water and God says, "This is My Son. And I have pleasure in My Son." And the Holy Spirit is there. And Jesus has not done anything yet in His ministry. But He goes on and fulfills His purpose and dies on the cross. Everything He does. And everything Jesus did was perfect. You know, so it's only normal for God to love Him that way, right? I mean, Jesus is perfect. Jesus is the Son of God. And God loved Him in a perfect way. But then in the same way, Jesus loves me. Are you sure, Jesus? Because I don't spend enough time in prayer. I don't obey the way I'm supposed to obey. I know better, but I fail. Yeah, but I love you in the same way that my Father loved me. If you think about that, that's unconditional love right there. Nothing you did. Nothing. There was nothing you did to earn this love. And sometimes I like to think I earn God's love, okay? Sometimes I feel like, well, God, think about the things I've been doing this week. How I behave with my wife. She ought to be more loving to me. I deserve your love too for this. And God says, no. Because if God weighs my actions, okay, He knows my, think about this, He knows my heart, my ideas, my thoughts, everything. So this is unconditional love. And I know my struggle, God knows my struggle, but He loves me anyway. I can stop right there and just think about that and say, wow. You know, with God, I don't have to hide things. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to act like I got it. I know it all. I'm strong. No, He knows me. Yet He loves me. What an amazing picture right there. The greatness of God's love is experienced at the fullness with Him. And it is experienced in the body of Christ. That's what we're reading right there in Ephesians 3. This is powerful because we have a little picture right here, a little idea that the love of Christ, the love of God, is comprehend with all the saints in the church. This is the best place, okay, to comprehend the love of God, all right? It's just like the one who says, God, give me patience, and God send them a hard person, right? Lord, give me love, and God send someone who hates us, right? And we have to love them in spite of their hate. The church is the perfect place because we struggle with each other, right? It's easier to love my kids than to love the rest of the church, okay? Or my wife to love the rest of the church. But when we get together and we grow together, We comprehend that love with all the saints, okay? What a powerful thing. And we need to think about this and say, Lord, are we ready to understand this kind of love as a congregation? I mean, think about this. We have visitors this morning here, but as they come, if we were to ask every one of them, when you walk into Winter Park Christian Church, did you feel love? Did you feel welcome in that place? Is the love of God an expression in the faces of people? Or are we judgmental? Self-righteousness. Because we are the hands of Christ to project that love that He's calling us to project. So can we make this love our own? Yes, we can. Will we be able to love in these ways that Paul is sharing? Of course we are. Paul prays that we do, that they do as well as we. And imagine a church like that, that is growing in love every day. And you know, it's a difference. You know it's a difference. You've been in places where you're not welcome. You've been in places where you've been rejected. And you know, you don't want to go back there anymore. You know, but when you go to a place where you are loved, a family that welcomes you, invite you to dinner, and they have this heart of God, you want to be there. There's relationship. There's friendship over there. Okay, let's continue here. As we get to verse 19, we read, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So we have another idea. The third idea here, the third thought, is to know in an experiential way the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And, you know, the love that we have has to go farther than the understanding of it. In other words, we can't explain it, but we feel it. We can give it to other people, okay, through being warm or hugging them or praying with them or being there, okay? It has to be bigger than what we are able to explain, okay? There are so many things that I can't explain in English, but if I switch to Spanish, you know, you wouldn't catch up with me this morning, okay? That's the same thing with love, okay? There are things that you can't explain about love, the love of God in your life, or the love that you give to other people, but you do it, you know it, you feel it, it's real. Right? Think about this illustration here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. This is powerful, okay? I love this passage. You love it too. It's the story of David. You know, David goes to the field. There's a battle going on out there about to start. And Goliath has been there for 40 days, threatening the people of Israel, you know. Everybody's afraid. Their hearts are just on the ground. And we read here that David gets over there and he finds out what's going on. And in verse 26, he says to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? But there's a question. And then he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he shall defy the armies of the living God? Right away, I mean, David has an understanding of God that probably he can't explain with words, but he knows who God is and he knows who he belongs to. And he says, he asked them right there, and the people answered, you know. And so then we read in verse 31, when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him, you know. And Saul probably is expecting to find this huge, brave, you know, warrior. And surprise, David comes, you know. He sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. The hearts are on the ground. And your servant, he says, will go and fight with this Philistine. Come on, send me. I will do it. And of course, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine. What are you talking about? To fight with them? For you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. Haven't you seen how high that, how tall that guy is? And look at you, you're just a little boy right here. What are you telling me? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. That's the strength right there, okay? That's understanding of who God is. David had a relationship with God, okay? And the relationship that David had with God was stronger than logic, than knowledge. Okay, what are you trying to do, David? What's wrong with you, David? And he says, no, I'm going to fight with this man because he's defying the armies of the living God. Let me tell you, this is the strength that God wants us to have. Think about it. If Christianity in America will be bold, you know, to say the truth without repercussions, the fear of repercussions, and to love without fear, there will be a revival. God wants us to do that. And I think He's calling us to love in that way and to be strong in those ways. So we look at here, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. The Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. I wonder if he said it. I mean, good luck, buddy. You know, it's not like, okay, go. God is going to be with you. No, go. We'll see how that goes, you know. Because there's no logic. There's no logic. But you know, how many things is God calling us to do that really we are incapable of doing? All of them. All of them. We need God. We need His love. We need His strength. The young guys here, the young girls here, brothers and sisters, we need to be strengthened in the love of God. It's so powerful to see this. So then we look in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. I come in the name of God, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of your head, of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the church, and all the air, that all the air may know that there is God in Israel. When the church is strong and when the church is walking in the love of Christ, the rest of the world will know that there is God in the church. Amen, brothers and sisters. We need to let the love of God be manifested in this place and to be poured down to the communities where we live. People is so broken. I'm surprised when I meet people and I get to talk to them and how much they're suffering and struggling. Here, in America, you know, there's no healing in financial aid or provision, abundance. There's no healing in the toys and in the place where we live. No, there are marriages that are so broken. And sometimes we are so ignorant about it. You know, once in a while I talk to other people that are not Christian, you know, and as pastors, sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, we are so busy with Christians and we know the lives of everyone, but I had the opportunity to talk to someone who's not a Christian and I never talked to him before. And in just a couple of minutes, that guy was a strong guy, strong fella, young fella, man. He was crying and he was just sharing his pain and his struggles in his life. And I thought, Lord, how many people is out there in the same way? And I'm so ignorant about it. I'm unaware about that. So think about this. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Romans 8:15 through 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. The love of God takes us away from fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. We are His sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the biggest battle, brothers and sisters, right here, between our head, that we are not children of God. If you remember, when Jesus was in the desert, the enemy came to Him and He said, if you are the Son of God. And you know, how many times the enemy comes and accuses us and says, you're not a Christian. No. Uh-oh. You're not there. You can't do it. But the Spirit of God is filling our hearts and telling us we are His people, His children. Have we experienced this kind of love in our lives? As we grow in the comprehension of God's love, our inner strength grows, giving us victory. and strengthen Christ to overcome sin and the challenges that we as Christians experience. Think about this. We need the love of God. We need to pray for it. We need to stop sometimes and say, Lord, fill me anew with your presence. And let your Holy Spirit fulfill your purpose in me. And give me the strength that I need to continue. In my marriage, in my family, in my work, in school, where I'm going. Because that's what God wants you to be, where he wants you to be. We finished that verse right there in Ephesians 3. And the way it ends, it says, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, but that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is his love that strengthens us to do his purpose in our lives. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You know the struggles of every person in this room, Lord. You know the hearts, the fears that we face. Oh, Lord, you know the challenges. And Lord, we don't seek sometimes that strength. We're trying to do it in our own, Lord. We repent of that. We ask forgiveness. Don't let us continue. Just like Moses said on the desert, Lord, if your presence is not with us, Lord, don't take us anywhere. And in the same way right now, Lord, we realize that if we're not abiding in your love, if we're not abounding in your love, Lord, we can't go anywhere, Lord. We need your love. And Lord, we bow down before you and we pray that you will fill us with that love. That you will strengthen us, Lord. And as we continue, Lord, that we can share and minister to others. And we can present the gospel to others. Lord, you are amazing. You love us, Lord, in spite of ourselves. You love us in spite of our sins, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word and thank you for this passage of scripture, Lord, that tells us that you love us. And let us experience it farther than the knowledge that we have. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.